Open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Not a text where one would normally select a Mother's Day message. Judges chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now skip to verse 13. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. This morning, we are celebrating Mother's Day. We're honoring those ladies who have devoted their very bodies and in some way their very lives to nurturing us. And I think nurturing is the right word to use, because most of us, at least most of us men, consider women as nurturing type people anyway. Granted, that is a stereotype, but women have played a huge role as mothers in shaping us. In fact, from stand psychology, there are four primary tasks of a child before he reaches six, and the mother's impact is huge in that the task that a child has to go through. For example, attachment and freedom to be oneself, and a sense of identity, and then a sense of confidence. And mothers are the ones who play such an integral role in this process for child rearing. In fact, as I was thinking about this morning, I was interested to see in my library what books I had on women and mothers. And so I found a book entitled Mothers of Great Men and Women. It was published in 1892. The front piece has the quote that we are all familiar with. I think it says this: "All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." But rather than focus on child rearing per se, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, what I would like to do is I want to consider four women who changed the world. Now, historically, we don't associate women as the world changers, but the men. In fact, I found another book in my library that was titled Portraits and Principles of the World's Great Men and Women, published 1894. 95 of the articles were written by men and only five by women. But I believe that the Bible gives a large place to the significance and to the place of women and their power and their influence. And I think the women that we consider this morning are examples of those very women, how the Bible eliminates the idea of sexist or gender issues, and it makes the playing field even. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female." And so as we consider these outstanding women, we're going to look at how they have been the first at what they did, and therefore women who changed the world. And the first one is Deborah. We read about Deborah in Judges chapter 4. We could have read the song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5. You see, Deborah, whose name means bee, from where we get the idea, busy as a bee, industrious, a person who is a hard worker. Deborah was a person of extraordinary character because she was the first prophetess and the first female ruler in Israel. She used to sit under a palm tree, and the palm tree became associated with her, and it was called the Palm of Deborah. And she, along with Samson and Gideon and other of the judges of Israel, also judged Israel. And the people would come whenever there was a decision to talk with her. And one day, the captain of the army, who was Barak, said, "The Canaanites are gathering 900 chariots of iron. They have thousands and thousands of men, and we cannot stand before them." And Deborah said, "Yes, we can. Go out and spread the field and fight the battle." And Barak, the captain, said, "I can't do that." He said, "If you go, then I'll go. But if you don't go, I'm not going to go." So what she did was, she said, "Therefore, I will go." And she ended up as an ancient Joan of Arc, being the leader of the field. And because of this woman, Deborah, the Israelites were able to defeat the Canaanites. And history was changed because of Deborah. She was a woman of faith and courage. And as I think about her, I think about a person who is a confidence inspirer. I think about a person who is willing to stand alone no matter what the cost, like the old youth song that we used to sing, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." Or like Esther, who, as she prepares to go in to see King Ahasuerus in Persia, knowing that her life is on the line, said to her uncle, "If I perish, I perish." What we need, men and women, who will stand alone if they need to. Deborah was willing to be a confidence giver to someone else, male though he be, in order to change the world. And so she did. Second woman that I would like us to have a look at is Mary Magdalene. If you have your Bible, flip over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And in Luke 8, in verse 2, we read this. certain women who had been healed of all evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. Now the name Mary means bitter, and perhaps it suggests what Mary Magdalene's life was like before Christ. You see, Mary Magdalene is a person out of whom the Lord Jesus had cast seven demons. She is not the same Mary who anointed the feet of Christ with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, nor is she the same Mary of Bethany, which was Lazarus' sister. This is Mary Magdalene, who was of such extraordinary character that she, along with two other women, were the only people that who had followed Christ, were left at the cross. In fact, there is a painting of Mary Magdalene as she is holding up and reaching, embracing the blood-stained feet of Christ. You see, Mary Magdalene was the last at the cross. And because she was the last at the cross, I believe it is because of this that every single gospel records Mary Magdalene as the first one to see the resurrected Christ. You see, this woman was of such extraordinary, unchanging love and devotion that she served the Lord, and even in the face of all of her hopes bleeding dry upon the cross, when she had no reason to hope anymore but, like Cleopas, get back on the road to Emmaus and go home, there's nothing left. When she was faced with this alternative, she continued to stay until she visited and she saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What she is a reminder for us, I believe, is this. Sometimes our hopes are challenged. We have obstacles, we have a bad day, and we need the Lord in a bad way. Sometimes things are not going particularly well in our lives, but here is Mary Magdalene, a person who is one who stayed the course. As Hebrews says, so tighten your loosening grip and strengthen your wavering hand. Don't wander away from the path, but forward steadily onward, because on the right path, the limping foot recovers strength and does not collapse. You see, Mary Magdalene continued in devotion and following, and she heard the voice of her Lord call her name. And I will say, men and women, that one day you and I will hear His name as well. And He will call us, Langston, Mary, George, Bill, Martha, Elizabeth. We'll hear His name and we will see His face. And then all of the pain will be removed from those obstacles. But here is the challenge. It is the challenge of a Mary Magdalene who is willing to stay in her devotion to her Lord, even in the face of the obstacles. There's another woman in the Bible. You don't need to turn to it. I'll tell you, it's in 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5 mentions a woman that Paul is writing in this letter, and he's saying, your grandmother Lois, in whom he first found faith formed, and then in Timothy's mother Eunice, and then in Timothy himself. You see, Lois is a name that means agreeable, and her only description, about all we know, is that she was a grandmother. I admit that I like the term, the idea of grandmother, and perhaps it's because I have such sweet memories of my own grandmother. But here, we often do not think of mothering or home focused women. We often do not give the kind of nobility and significance to that as we ought to in our American culture. Sometimes it seems so mundane and everyday and that it's hard to do. In fact, there was an article that I read about a grandfather who kept the children for his daughter, and the daughter went shopping one day and the grandfather was alone. And when the daughter came back, there were six children, by the way. When the grandfather came back, he met his daughter at the door, and he had a list of everything that he had been doing for those six grandchildren. These are some of the things on the list. I'm not going to read it all, but some. Dried the children's tears 22 times. Wiped their noses 13 times. Separated them 17 times. Tied their shoestrings 16 times. Got them drinks of water 24 times. Told them to hold it down 23 times. Said, don't do that, quit it, and leave them alone 29 times. Balloons blown 3 per child. Average life of a balloon 12 seconds. Caution the children not to cross the street 34 times. Children insisted on crossing the street 34 times. Number of times grandpa will do this alone in the future, 0. I say things are so everyday and ordinary in homemaking, we often do not attribute the significance to it. But here is this woman who was the first convert in a godly line, so that her daughter became a Christian and then her grandson became a minister of the gospel because of Grandmother Lois. And I think that we need to emphasize the significance, the importance, plus this, listen to this, the opportunity to be parents. I miss having little children. I enjoyed being a dad. Miss having little children around the house. Your opportunity is there. I want to tell you, men and women, you know how long it's going to last? You better choose your opportunity. Lois chose hers. I once had a physician tell me that he had not eaten a meal with his family in 25 years. And he was bragging. Oh, working so hard. And then finally, there's another woman named Lydia. Grandmother Lois shaped her daughter and her grandson for Christ, and so she changed the world. The reason we have 1st and 2nd Timothy in the Bible is because of a grandmother. And then there is Lydia in Acts 16. In Acts 16, there is the story of Lydia who, when Paul came to Philippi, he went to the river. And there he found Lydia. And Lydia, the Bible says that God opened her heart, and then Lydia prevailed on the three missionaries, Paul, Timothy, Lois's grandson, and Dr. Luke, the physician who's recording the book of Acts. He prevailed, she prevailed upon them to come home, and she was hospitable. That, I think, is her legacy. That is, God opened her heart, and she opened her resources to God's work. Your resources may not be financial. It may not be home. But what is it that God has given to you? A gift, ability to teach, ability to be to others what they need to hear, an ear even to listen. God has gifted every single believer in this congregation with something. And one thing that has heartened and blessed me is I believe this congregation is a hospitable, and they use their resources. When my brother died last July, I was the recipient of the care and the love of this congregation. And I've seen it time and time again. Throughout the women's work of the care using your resources. God opened Lydia's heart, and she became the mother, the spiritual mother of the Western church. The reason our spiritual mother was Lydia, men and women, the first convert in Europe. Four extraordinary women that God used: Deborah, Mary Magdalene, Lois, and Lydia. Today, ladies, Covenant Presbyterian Church honors you, but God's Word honors you. Let's pray.